We've been kind of using this as a platform to spring from, and it says God is light. This is what the Message Bible says. It says God is light, pure light. There's not a trace of darkness in Him. The Amplified says God is light and there's no darkness in Him at all. No, not any way. You know, I guess the Lord started dealing with me about light several weeks ago. I don't know how long I've been ministering along those lines. And because of all the darkness that's in the world and that we need to know that God's a good God, that He's good. You know, you can go to Him because He's a good God. Amen. And so, He's light. There's no darkness in Him at all. When you see all these terrible tragedies and everything, or these wickedness and this evil, you can mark that down as darkness. That's darkness. That's not light. Jesus came to bring light to the world. Amen. And so, we've been talking about that and giving scriptures on it. And then Jesus said, and I'm going to read Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, because this is what He said of us. And in this world we live in, it says, you are the light, verse 14, you are the light of the world. Now, He was talking to His disciples, and He was telling them this even prior to them being born again. And they weren't born again yet. They were the followers of Jesus Christ. They were to be apostles, many of them, 12 of them. And then He was talking to all His disciples and all of those. He said, you're the light of the world. He says, like a city, I'm looking at a different translation, but I'll go to New King James. It says, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You know, as long as we're in this world, there's always going to be a conflict between light and darkness. You see it all the time. I mean, if you're light, you're going to be facing and you're going to hit head on with darkness all the time. And some people wonder, why in the world do some people treat me like they treat me? Why do they do that? Well, if you're light and they're darkness, that's why it is. Say your kids in school and stuff like this. I like to tell our kids, listen, when people are just being hammering you and hammering, it's because there's a light and there's a darkness. There's a light and there's a darkness. Because light does not, or darkness does not like light. It tries to snuff it out, but we know, according to the Word of God, it can't. It can't. Now, a lot of people get discouraged and such as that. And I know I was talking to a pastor friend of mine just during a prayer conference in Tulsa. And we was talking about his child and stuff like that. And he was talking, he said this. He said, my kid has two friends in school. Two friends in school. And he said, and she's a godly girl. She teaches their youth. She does all this in their church. And I think she's a senior, I guess. She's 18 years old and a senior and loves God with all her heart, does all this. And it's just the attack on her is unreal. And he said she's got two friends. She had other friends, the more popular kids. But the more popular kids was trying to drag her into the darkness through drugs, drinking, pot smoking, cussing, sex, and all that, trying to pull her into that. So she cut herself off from them. He said she cut herself off. I mean, she pulled away from them. Right. And I'm telling you, light has to pull away from darkness. And sometimes you said, well, I'm going to blaze right into it. Sometimes you've got to separate yourself from darkness in order for your light to shine. And so, you know, and then he said the two kids that she's friend with, Frank, in her school actually are in her youth group. And so, you know, she got friends in her church, the youth group and such as that. They got a good youth group and such as that. But, you know, you think about that and you think, was there a song, Why Is Everybody Always Picking on Me?
Charlie Brown.
Why is everybody always picking on me? Well, I'm telling you, there's always going to be darkness picking on light. Always. And so he said, you're the light of the world. And when you're set up on a hilltop or you don't put that under a basket and you let your light shine, then you're going to get attacked by darkness. But you're to shout. In fact, he said, rejoice when they revile you, when they persecute you, when they curse you. You rejoice. You said, oh, pastor, you're not talking what I want to hear tonight. But I tell you what, if you'll start rejoicing over that and just put a smile on your face and say, it's all going to be all right. God's on my side, and if God be for me, who can be against me? I'm going to let my light shine, whether they like it or not. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be loving. I'm going to be caring. I'm going to do all those things. If the devil's trying to pull, listen, the devil will try to pull out the worst of you. And if there's not no worst of you, all he can pull out is light. All he can pull out is God. Amen. And so, you know, in the world we're living in right now, people are really looking for light. They're looking for goodness. They're looking for kindness. They're looking for love. And when you display that, it begins to change their attitude towards you. Amen. Look, if you will, to John chapter 8. St. John chapter 8. I got quite a few scriptures, but I'm sure I won't get to all of them tonight. Jesus said this in verse 12 of John chapter 8. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He who follows me, who follows light, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, if you was to look up that word walk, it means advance. He says, he who follows me shall not advance in darkness, shall not advance in darkness, but have the light of life. So if we follow Jesus, guess what we got to follow is the Word. If we follow the Word of God, we're following light. And so the church, the body of Christ, I mean, there's Christians all over the world. I mean, there's, I don't know how many, I think somebody estimated to be around the world. I don't know how many billions, but there's several billion Christians. Well, that's a big light. I said, that's a big light. And so Jesus said, if you'll follow Him, follow the Word of God, you won't advance in darkness. So it leads me to think, if we don't follow Him, we will advance in darkness. You know, we can all get in darkness if we want. It's no problem. Darkness is everywhere we go. We can jump in at any time we want. But also, you can walk into darkness and a light shine and dispel the darkness around you. So, to walk means to be occupied with also. So, he says, he who follows me shall not be occupied with darkness. He who follows me will not be occupied with darkness. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, we can't let darkness occupy our thoughts and our mind. The devil would love to take you into a dark place, but he can't. Amen? If you don't let him. Amen? That's why people get depressed. They let the devil lead them into a dark place. That's why they don't like light. Now, y'all have heard me say this before because I've known people that's been depressed and dealing with depressed. I've heard people talk about their parents being depressed, how they get in the room, shut the shades, cut all the lights off, and they didn't want to have nothing to do with light. Well, that's what the devil wants to do is keep you in darkness, and that's what depression is darkness. It's darkness to try to keep you depressed. But I tell you what, you say, well, they ought to turn the light switch on. That'll help. Listen to me. The light switch in your house is fine if you want light, but if you want the light in you, you're going to have to turn the light of the Word on. Amen. You're going to have to turn that Word on. Amen? And I remember I've told this story so many times for the sake of somebody that might not have heard it, because it's very interesting in knowing that I believe this. I believe God will send people to a church for a reason, and that's to get help. And that's to help. And that's why sometimes when people come to church and the pastor preaches, they say, well, he was preaching right at me. He must have knew exactly what I needed this week and exactly what I did this week, exactly the stuff. Well, really, they don't know what you did. They really didn't know what you needed, but God knew what you needed. And God sent this young lady, this lady here. She's actually my age, about my age. Actually, she was my cousin. And so she started coming to church here and started, coming to church regularly, came regularly. And then all of a sudden, she began to turn, what would you say, offensive over my preaching. And in fact, one I still remember a word I gave her. She was sitting in the congregation, just in my preaching. I stopped and said, here, I called her by name. I think I had to have called her by name. Called her by name and said, listen, here, God wants you to change the atmosphere in your home. And here's how you got to do it. You need to change it by putting on praise and worship, hearing the Word of God, and change the atmosphere in your home. Now, I don't know what she's dealing with, and I don't know what she's going through. But anyway, she took offense, and then several times, she came back several more times, and finally she quit coming to church and had a friend call me, or she didn't have her call me. She just took it on her own to call me. One night, about 8 or 9 o'clock, I got a phone call, and I answered the phone, and it was her friend, and asked me, "Why are you picking on my friend?" And I first of all said, "Who's your friend?" Because I didn't know who you're talking about. And as she really didn't tell me her name, but then before they got through, I understood what her name was. I knew who it was. I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, you said to preach about this, you preach about that, you preach about this, you preach about that." And I told her, I said, I didn't know none of those things about her. I ain't seen her in years. I don't know any of those things about her." She said, "You didn't?" I said, "No." She said, "I may be speaking out of turn." I said, "You might be." And I said, then I asked her, I said, "Don't you think the Holy Spirit knows what she needs and she's dealing with?" And that's what I asked her, which she knows nothing about the Holy Ghost. But anyway, she said, "I guess you're right." And so in fact, the next time they come to church, she was with her. She had her bodyguard with her. And that was the last time they came to our church. And then I got a call from her one Sunday morning. I was getting ready to preach, and she called me up and said, "I just want you to know, I'm not coming back to your church." Here's what she said, Josh. She said, "So you can preach to somebody else." Because her thought was, I was doing nothing but gearing my whole service to her, not knowing anything that was going on in her life. Well, she died with 7 brain tumors in her brain. And before she died, me and my wife went and we prayed for her. We spoke to her. We encouraged her, and we did all those. And I believe this with all my heart. God was trying to reverse it. God was trying to change it. God was trying to change it. Listen, but darkness was just pulling her out of the light. I'm telling you, God wants to change some things in our lives, but we've got to let Him. We've got to be willing to go where He wants to take us. Amen. I was telling this story at prayer a while ago, And I remember I got a friend of mine. They were friends of ours in New Mexico, and this church hired him to be a pastor. And it was a community church. I don't really know what the denomination or what it was, but they weren't a Holy Ghost. They weren't a Spirit-filled church. And so they knew he was a Spirit-filled person. They knew he spoke in tongues. They knew all that before they hired him. And so he got in there, and he's told me all this stuff, and he was sitting there, and he preaching, and he got to preaching on the Holy Ghost and ministering on the Holy Ghost. He said he was taking it easy. You know, some people you got to take it easy with. You just can't throw a bombshell on them all of a sudden. And so he just leading them in. He knew all that and was leading them in, and he got to talk about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He got to talk about tongues and interpretation. How many knows all that's in the Bible? Amen. Anybody ever read that? Anybody ever read that it's for everybody? It's for everybody, anybody that will, rather. And so in that process, after a while, the men, some of the leaders of that church came to him, and they told him, and it blew me away that he said, they told him this. They said, "You are trying to take us where we do not want to go. You're trying to take us where we do not want to go." So they gave him a severance check and sent him out the door. So you can't make people go where they don't want to go. I'm telling you what, God can deal with their hearts, but you can't force anybody to go where they don't want to go. And I'm telling you what, I believe God was trying to lead her to be healed and accept the power of God, deliver her some issues in her life, and she did not want to go there. The reason why is not because I think it was because she's just deceived. It wasn't because she willingly and just said, "Well, I'm just going to stand against." I believe she was deceived. You know, people can be deceived. Deception is nothing more than blackness or darkness over their lives to blind their minds of those that don't believe. That's all it is. And the Bible says Satan is the god of the world who blinds the minds of those who don't believe. Well, when you put blindfolds on people, guess what they are? In the dark. And so that's what he wants to keep people in. And so he said, if you'll follow me, you won't advance in darkness, or you won't be occupied with darkness. Jesus said in John 9:5, he said, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And that's basically what he said right here. So he told it. We had it told several times. In John 12:46, Jesus says this, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. whoever comes to me shall not abide in darkness. We don't have to abide in darkness. And abide means to stay in, to continue in, to dwell in, to endure, to remain, to stay, or to tarry. And so he said, if you abide in me or come to the light, he said, you won't abide in darkness. Listen, darkness is a miserable place to be. And we know that. And you say, why are you talking so much about darkness? Because there's so much of it on the planet Earth right now, and so many people are bound by it. And they need to know there's a light they can get into that brings peace and joy and provision in their lives. And peace of mind. Man, there's people that pay money if they could just have some peace and tranquility in their mind. Listen, what happens sometimes is we're entertaining the bad reports, the bad news and all such as that. What we're doing, we're abiding in darkness when we ought to be abiding in the light. Look, if you will, to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And we know this story, and it's about Saul of Tarsus. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1, it says this, and Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, listen, look what happened. Suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. You know, Paul was literally a puppet of the devil. I mean, he was taking people who believed in Jesus to prison. In act that he was even at Stephen's, he consented to Stephen's death, holding the coats of the people who stoned him to death. That's dark. And so he was going in darkness. He was, but all of a sudden, guess what showed up? Light. Light showed up. Light is what turned his course of his life. Did you know, you said, well, Jesus showed up. Well, he's light. Did you know when you show up somewhere? Listen to me. We're not Jesus, but we're the light of the world. We're as He is, so we in the world, and He is light. And I'm telling you something: the light in you can turn somebody from the darkness that's in them. Praise God. Sometimes we get aggravated at people. I know I do just as much as anybody else. And you think, but we got to understand there's an influence there. Sometimes we got to get to the influence or the root of the problem. And I said this before. I said, sometimes we just got to realize, instead of getting mad at somebody for what they're doing, we need to come against the spirit that's causing the issue in their life. And I'm telling you, that's why Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you. He just pray for them. Bless them. Let light shine. Amen. And so he said, what do you want me to do? And from that point, that time right there, Paul's life went from darkness to light. Went from darkness to light. It completely changed the course of his life. And now he's no longer trying to destroy the church. He became a part of it. Praise God. I tell you, you know, the best thing for people is to get saved and be a part of the solution instead of being a part of the problem. Amen. What would happen if we started praying for people to get saved, that the light... Have anybody ever had just a tough character, a part of you, and you ever said, God, I just pray that you knock them off their donkey? Now, most time we say, donkey, will you mind stomping them while they're on the ground? But that is not what Jesus did. He fell to the ground, fell off the donkey, fell to the ground. But the thing about it is, he saw the light. He saw Jesus. He had a life-changing experience because the light showed up. Because the light showed up. You know, you got to realize, sometimes you may be headed somewhere you don't even know why you're headed there. You may be somewhere that you don't even know why you're there, but bless God, you're there because you're a light. Somebody needs to see the light. You don't know what one word out of your mouth can do to change somebody's total destiny in God. And so he said, what do you want me to do? And he said, well, you just go into the street and to the city and it'll be told you. And of course, we know he told Ananias, you go and you lay hands on him and he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what happened. And Paul went and wound up being writing 2/3 of the New Testament, knowing who he was in Christ. Look at Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. Verse 6. Now, Paul is sharing his experience. You'll find out Paul did several times. It's recorded in the book of Acts of his testimony. And notice what he said. Now, it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone about around me. Guess what? He's talking about the light. The one thing that made an impact on his life was the light. I'm telling you, that's exactly what makes an impact on all of our lives. Praise God. I mean, when you got born again, a light shone and actually become a part of your life. He says, I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. You know, it's amazing. I don't know. I hope I'll get this out right. Here, Paul saw light and he heard what the light was saying and it changed him. Now, there was others with him. Even Paul himself said they saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice. They saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice. Now, maybe it was just speaking into Paul's heart, but I'm here to tell you something. If a light shone by me around, if I was on that journey with Paul and I was walking along and I was healed because they were going to take people to prison and all of a sudden that light shone, knocked him to the feet, probably knocked him to the ground, and all of a sudden he heard a voice, Jesus speaking to him, and I don't know if they heard the voice, but they saw the light. They saw the light. The same light that Paul is giving testimony about that changed him and the voice that spoke through it. I'm going to tell you something. People always have a choice if they want to follow the light or not. But here's the deal about us. God never sends us somewhere or puts us in a place that we don't have a voice with our light. That we don't have a voice with our light. And when you are the light and you're living the light and you're preaching the light or declaring the light and you give that voice, they're going to listen, God will show up in that word, in that, and I'm telling you, give them a choice to make a decision. Now, I don't know if them folks got ever come to the light or not, but I'm telling you, they saw the same light that Paul saw that changed his life forever. Look in Acts 26. Acts 26. Here's Paul's testimony again. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus, verse 12, to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, the Bible says every one of them fell out when the light came. Now, I don't know about you, but that made me at least think about it. What in the world just knocked me to the ground, that light? And so he's given this testimony again. That Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, we all know this. You got to look at it like this. His persecution, Jesus took it personally because he said, why are you persecuting me? Well, Paul's thinking he's taking all these people that are believing in Jesus. He's taking them to prison. Jesus said, listen to me, you're fighting against me. You got to realize when the devil's kicking against you, he's kicking against God. He's kicking against you, and God's for you. That's why Paul said, if God's for you, who can be against you? He knew this. God was on your side, because Paul, by experience, knew this, that Jesus said, you are fighting against me, God. And so when you look at it like that, say, well, they're going to have to deal with this, because they're fighting against Jesus. And Jesus is on my side. He's for me, and he's for me. Who can be against me? I'm going to win. I'm going to come out of this on top. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet, and I appear to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Listen to what he said. Here's why I'm going to send you there, to open their eyes. In order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. He said, here's why you're going, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Isn't that what we're here for? That's why we're here, to turn them from darkness to light. You said, well, how many people's in darkness? Every person that does not know Jesus Christ is living in darkness. Every person. Don't matter who they are, they're living in darkness. And he said, listen, I put a light in you. Isn't that what Jesus said? You're the light of the world. I'm going to put a light in you. But don't let a bushel, don't let something come on it to hinder that light. Listen to me. One of the worst things we can do is be ashamed of Jesus. It's to be ashamed of who we are. So many times, well, they may not understand. Listen, you got to understand, your light will shine. Listen, I always believe this. Your witness is greater expressed, listen to this, in what you do rather than what you say. Is that right? So your light shines in your action. In fact, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You said, well, what about my good words? Well, your good words will come. But let me say this. I know I'm running out of time. Let me say this. Your good works, listen, your good works will open the door for your righteous words. Huh? And so light is so important, especially where we're living in the time and hour in which we live in. And listen, that's why Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me. Witnesses unto me. That means our lives are great, are probably, well, they work equally the same, I assume. Your work, your deeds and your actions are equally as powerful as the words that you speak, as being light. Look in Ephesians 5 real quick. Ephesians 5. Let me see where I want to read. Let's go with just verse 8. Paul, now this is Paul writing. You know, he definitely knows what it was to be in darkness. He said, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And then he says, walk as children of light. You once were darkness, and if you're born again, you're no longer darkness. You are what? You're what? He said, now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You know, y'all probably know this. Of course, we talk about condemnation or conviction, which there's a difference in condemnation and conviction. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But the Bible also says the Holy Ghost comes to convict the world of sin. And so the Holy Ghost in us, or the light in, did you know the light in you will bring conviction in people's lives? Did y'all ever notice that? Just the light in you. You can be around somebody that's living in darkness and all, and you're living righteous and done. Listen, don't, what always bugs me, I guess, is when people look at you and say, well, you just got that holier-than-thou attitude. Well, I never display a holier-than-thou attitude. I'm not any, but I can tell you this, if I'm righteous and they're not, I am holier than they are, and so are you, because you're holy by the Holy Spirit, but not to the sense of pride and arrogance to try to make them feel lesser, because if it wasn't for the light shining in your life, you'd still be in darkness too. Amen? And so he said, what you ought to do, what you expose, your light brings exposure to darkness, and that's why some people will try to start making excuses for what they're doing. Have you ever been around somebody that start trying to make excuses for what they're doing? I have. And I said, listen, I'm not your judge. I'm not saying anything about it. That's your business. You do what you want to do. Huh? And I remember my brother one time, and here I go with my brother again. Same one, older brother. And you know, at Christmas in our house, you know, there was a day they quit doing it, not our house, my parents' house, and they would, it's all drink and they'd bring all kinds of drink, which we didn't do it. We were Christian saved. We didn't do all that stuff. But I never condemned them. God knows I drank enough to float a battleship. And so, I never condemned or nothing like that. And so we'd be there and I never paid much attention, but I had brother-in-laws and stuff like this. And while I'm there, I'm not saying nothing to them. So, I'm not condemning nobody or nothing like that. That's their business. They can do what they want to do. But they wouldn't pick up their drink and drink it while we was walking around in there. Finally, my brother just got tired of letting his beer get hot. He finally said, "There ain't nothing wrong with drinking a beer." I looked at him and said, "I ain't said nothing about you drinking a beer. Did I say anything about you drinking a beer?" You know what was happening? Conviction. Conviction. Listen, you know what's so good about conviction? If the people will yield to that conviction, it'll bring repentance in their heart and bring a change in their life. Huh? I've never condemned them to this day. Amen? But I found this out. If you're walking in the light, wherever you are, and if people start trying to, listen to me and I'm going to close. And if they come to you and start making excuses for why they're doing that, guess what? There's conviction coming on their heart. There's a conviction coming on them. And that's why they're doing that. And what a time to just say, listen, I'm not your condemner. What did Jesus tell the woman caught in adultery? Neither do I condemn you. Now, he didn't approve it. He didn't pat her on the back for it. In fact, he said, don't do it no more. But the thing about it is, he didn't condemn her. But I'm telling you something, we're not to condemn. We're not to condemn. We're not to pass judgment on people. We're just supposed to let our light so shine before men that they'll glorify our Father who is in heaven. Amen. Had somebody call me today and they asked me, let me ask you. I'm counseling with this person, and I want to know what you would do. And pastors do that, by the way. I got pastor friends. I got about 5 pastor friends. I'll call if I'm dealing with something. I say, how would you handle this? How would you deal with this? How would you deal with it? And most of the time, all 5 of them will tell me nearly exactly the same thing. And he said, I got this issue, and I've got this couple that's in their 70s. They want to move in together. They want to move in together. They love each other, and for some issues in their retirements and benefits and stuff like this, they don't want to get married. And he said, how would you deal with that? I said, well, you have an obligation to teach the word, to tell them the word. We have to tell them the truth. That's we have to tell them the truth. So I text a bunch of stuff, and he was texting me back such as that. He said, that's the things what I've been saying. That's all the things I've been telling her, and such as this, that. And the thing about it is if God wasn't dealing with her about it not being right, she wouldn't have never asked him. Because if you're born again, sin is going to bring conviction. And what you do with it's up to you. Huh? And then that last thing I said, but they get to make their own choice. And he said, that's exactly what I told them. I'm telling you what the Bible says, and God hadn't changed. He says, but you're going to have to make the choice. You're going to be the one to make choice of what you do. Isn't that true? So listen to me. We can't force anybody to make a change, but we can definitely let our light shine that at least they'll have an opportunity to do a change that will bless their lives. Amen. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your word, and we thank you that we're light. God, we're the light of the world because we have the light of the world living on the inside of us, and that's you, Jesus. Holy Ghost, we thank you for causing us and enabling us and empowering us, not causing, but you empower us to let our light shine. God, and to let goodness and kindness and meekness and faithfulness and love and joy and peace radiate out of our lives. God, I pray for this congregation. I pray that we'll shine so bright wherever we go, on the workplace, and in the supermarkets, walking the street, going in restaurants, God, that people will see our light. They'll see our light. And God, I declare that everywhere we go, we dispel darkness, and darkness is exposed. God, I pray for people that are in darkness. I pray for loved ones. I pray for family members that are in darkness. God, that the light of Jesus will even shine as it did on Paul. God, that he'll come to himself and come to him senses, even as the prodigal son, and realize that they can come out of darkness and they can enter into the light, the glorious gospel, the glorious power of our God. We love you so much, and we thank you so much for filling us with your precious Holy Spirit. And God, I thank you that you didn't call, we're thankful that you didn't call us to be judges, but you called us to be lights and witnesses for you. And that's what we choose to do, and that's what we plan to do, and that's what we ask you to empower us and enable us to do. We thank you for the Holy Ghost that's come inside of us to give us great boldness in this dark time that we live. But God, we know the darkness can't put out the light, but the light will actually bring illumination to the darkness. And people's lives, our friends, our family members, people we know are going to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of the power of God that's being released in our lives through our actions, by our words, by what we do, what we say. God, as we walk in love and love them in the name of Jesus, what a good God you are. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't God good?